So, hi. Welcome to Jews Podcast. I'm Gwen Douglas.
I'm Emily Harmon.
And today we're joined by...
Just by chance.
That's
Walking
your name.
By. Today that's your name for now.
Nicola Sessa.
Nicola.
The artist very formerly known as...
Brief Market Viner.
So, he skate crashed our Italian episode, but it's perfect because this means we have to Google less and we can just ask him. So today's episode, we're doing
Italian white wines,
and we tried to pick some stuff that was...
Well, Gwen and I chose a bottle each.
Yes.
And we thought we'd do an episode on Italian white wine because often Italian red wines always get the limelight, and actually there's some very interesting white wine produced in Italy, and also ageable white wine being produced in Italy. Everybody thinks, oh, long-aging red wines, but things like Cortese from Gavi age quite well. Timorasso, not too bad with the ageing. Obviously, I've bought a wine from Etna. I think they can hold up.
Verdicchio. Like a new chapter of Timorasso.
Yeah.
Now they are long life of 10, 20 years.
Yes.
Yeah, it's amazing. And before, there were just like two or three producers making Timorasso. Now it's expanding. Because even more family having these very old wines, now they can work with that, and they just realize that they can sell more like a Chablis or Bourgogne wine with bottles that can reach like 60, 70, 80 euros per bottle. But it's really something that you can blind test and say, what is that?
Yeah, amazing.
Yes. Timorasso, yeah. What else?
Cool. Yeah. It's got good personality, it's got its own identity.
Yeah.
Its ageability. Because before it was, who was it, Walter Massa you'd see, and then who was the other producer making some
Timorasso? Exactly, Massa is the champion of Timorasso, because he was the first one believing in it, starting to invest, because you know Timorasso before like 15 years aging of wines is nothing. You cannot drink it. So it was the first one investing a lot of money, waiting for that, like actually should be always for wine.
Yeah.
So thanks to Massa, Walter Massa actually, Timorasso is back to the chronicles and to the...
And then like Coppi, and also like Claudio Mariotta as well.
Mariotta is like an artist now. It's like if you talk of Raffaello in the art, that's changing from the old part of the art, from the classic art, to the connection with holy art and sacred art, and like what is today modern art. So this is like the connection. Yeah. Mariotta is fantastic from this point of view.
Have you ever tried the Romagna Timorasso?
Yeah, of course.
I've still not tried that one.
Yeah,
I really want to try it.
I tried, but I think that it's like kind of, you know, Ferrari things, that it's beautiful, it's very powerful, but I think Romagna is Romagna, but it's a bit like when you drink some of this very overpriced Barbarisco that is out of every kind of the world. But yeah, still very good, but I stick with very old traditional Timorasso wine producer.
Yeah.
So
today we've got two wines. I reckon we should start off, we'll start in the north and work down south, maybe.
Alrighty. So we start with my pick.
Yep.
As I said to Emily, I got the one with the dog on it.
When she said that, I was like, which wine label is that? Because there's quite a few labels with dogs on. But
I think it's a weird label.
Yeah.
I quite like it, even though
it's weird, like Stefano Bellotti is actually.
Yes.
Have you never met him?
No, and now I never will, because he's dead now, unfortunately. Oh. He died last year.
Bellotti?
Yeah, Stefano Bellotti.
Really?
Cancer. He didn't tell anybody.
Yesterday?
He was seriously ill. No, not yesterday, last year.
Sorry, last year.
Yesterday, no, oh my God.
Too much wine,
is it? Yeah, no, he died last year. He didn't tell anybody he was terminally ill. Didn't take any treatment. And he died, I think, in his vines.
Treatment.
Yeah.
Wow. So drippy too.
Wow, this is like very tough for me, because actually for me it was like we met many times actually, but I didn't know that he died actually.
Yeah, I also.
Yeah, he was like the big priest of the natural wine in Piemonte. I don't know if you watched the Jonathan Noster documentary.
No.
Yeah, you should watch this documentary of Noster.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah. Natural Resistance.
Yeah, exactly. And it was one of the four.
Yep.
Main character.
Yeah, so there's a documentary by Jonathan Nofita who did Mondovino. He, we'll get to that. He did, his second one was called Natural Resistance, and it was focusing on four natural producers in Italy. One was Stefano, and the other one was it La Distesa?
Stefano, the other one was Pascina.
Pascina
in Tuscany.
And was also the, La Stoppa, no?
La Stoppa with Armani and Giorgio, no, Giorgio. Armani, the wine, the analog. And what's the fourth one was...
La Distesa, Marche.
La Distesa, yeah. Corradi.
Yeah.
Corradi.
With the curly
doctor,
hair.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The doctor.
Really interesting. He's on there and he's amazing, okay. Actually. When you, and I mean, anyway, he looks... He doesn't look super well in, like, he doesn't look super well, but he's very outspoken, and actually he's one of the real people, that closing scene with him, like, he's quite, he sort of touches you in a way.
Yeah, but he
really
was
comes
the,
across.
Stefan was the real philosopher of this kind, and the strong man of that. Actually, when they presented this movie to the Berlinale in 2011, I think.
I think it was later than that.
So Stefano was the main, the spokesman person.
Okay.
Because he was like the most, like, farmer man.
Okay.
Very rude one, but also with, like, you know, we said always, big shoes, fine brain, and it was exactly this.
Okay.
Yeah. Because yeah, he was quite articulate as well.
Because
and
he was
precise.
A farmer, but still with the brain was very...
Sharp,
yeah. And very with the words. So, for instance, Corrado Dottori is like very well-educated from Bocconi, highest school in Italy, like, I don't know, if you say Yale in the United States. So but still, the Spitzigmann, Stefano Bellotto.
Amazing.
Yeah. Very interesting. But this, the wine here, Filagnotti, that's how you'd say it, right?
Yeah.
Filagnotti? 2016 from Cascina degli Ulivi.
Degli Ulivi.
Ulivi, yes, sorry.
Olive tree.
Degli Ulivi.
Olive tree.
Olive tree.
Yeah.
And so they were in the southern part of Piemonte, right, on the border of Liguria, I thought.
Exactly, and it's Colli Tortonesi.
Yes.
That's also like the area of Timorasso, actually.
Yes. Okay.
It's like on the border. Because it's interesting that you have like the in the evening this salty wind from the sea, but the good land of Piemonte, it's like this fantastic mix of
And so coming from there, and the story with the winery is also that essentially they were squatters, weren't they?
Yeah.
They didn't own the land, they were squatting, so apparently someone had to be there at all times to maintain
sure
squatting rights on the land.
Amazing.
And then it's crazy how, like, these white roads, like, that was like the border, you can see the difference how they were treating the earth. So the, like, the Stefano earth was like very fresh, soft, brown.
Yeah.
Art, so the, like the neighbors using all these kind of shitty chemistry things was like crunchy, white, like anemic.
Yeah.
So it's nice. So what do you think of this wine, Gwen? Do you like it?
I do. Yeah. It does taste like buttered popcorn at the end.
Yeah.
It tastes like the Jelly Belly
but
popcorn
this is
version.
This is exactly like the signature of.
Okay.
So, and this is like the top Gavi.
So it's 100% Cortese.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. It's got almost a smokiness to it.
Yeah, there's something popcorn made over an open fire. There we go.
Yeah, but with this sweet popcorn.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why I said it tastes like the Jelly Belly, Jelly Bean version of buttered popcorn.
I think this is a wine because obviously it's cloudy, it's unfined, unfiltered. There's obviously no sulfur. There is a touch of this yeasty, almost mouthy finish.
Yes, that's what I was...
I know.
She saw me make the face and she said, in a minute, we'll get to that.
I also told you because I spilt some of my skin, I could smell it on the skin before, but...
So there is a...
There's a little bit of a bit of bacteria thing at the end. Mm-hmm. But I think if you drank it quick enough...
Yeah. No, but it's like a topic about natural wine because it's like... You know, from cheese.
Yeah.
If you don't have bacteria, how you can develop like the fermentation?
Exactly.
The cheese,
you need it.
And this is like one of the topics from also La Stoppa, because it was not like totally clean and
healthy.
It's part
and
of the
point is, have you never seen the cellar like what was like 50 years ago?
That's interesting. I think, I mean, I like the wine though. I like that it's almost got this saltiness to it. It's not like, this is not a wine for people that like fruity wines. No. This is for a wine people that like wines that have this sort of savoury sweet
thing. So I'm curious now, because we have another bottle at home that we're going to open later today. So now I'd be curious to... Yeah.
The same wine?
Yeah, same wine.
Just take that one.
I'm going to take it home and then have a little try of both. Yeah, it's very nice.
I think it would be a wine that would probably keep quite well as well.
Yeah.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay. Very nice one.
Yeah, thanks.
Lovely.
Thank God.
So Cortese is the grape variety for that we see in Gavi. And it's funny because I think particularly for English people, they drink a lot of Gavi de Gavi. And they don't... it's something that's drunk quite young, where I think actually the Gavi has quite and Cortese has quite a good. You can each drink them quite easily within 10, 15
years.
Yeah,
this is
So I bought one of my favourite wines from one of my
really.
So Ante Etna Bianco from I Custodi 2014. So this is a white from Etna, which is predominantly with Caricante, and I believe there's a little bit of Minella.
What does it mean, Ante?
Opposite. Ante.
Ante means before.
Yes.
But actually it's like the opposite of Etna.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
See?
Read from white to the left.
Yes, all right.
But Ante, it's Latin word.
Meaning
it's like before
Oh well, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's very nice. Smells delicious.
So 70% Caricante with Manella and Gricanico, and they're all bush vines, obviously sandy volcanic soil, and it's just 12 months in steel vats.
And we are here above like 600-700 meters.
Yeah, it's later, so it's actually 850 to 1,200. It says this vineyard.
It's like
yeah, crazy.
Because the top is the Aurora wine.
Okay. From Ivinieri.
Yeah, that is,
that's
is
amazing.
Like Salvo Forte. That's more, but Salvo Forte takes also this.
Yeah, because it's got the Ivinieri.
The consortium.
Yeah.
That is from Etna region plus Lipari.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is like an island just in front of Sicily. From this
Aeolian. Above Palermo, Lipari. Okay. You know, on the Aeolian.
Yeah, more Messina, because they are all volcanic islands, so they put together this consortium from 1435, but then was destroyed from the Arabic invasion because they were against wine, so it was cancelled. It is one of the oldest wine consortium in the world, actually probably the oldest one, and then was destroyed by the Arabic Imori, when the Maori arrived to the Sicily. They were Muslims, of course, against this, so everything was destroyed. And then Salvo Forte rebuilt this kind of consortium with winemakers. And also, Lipari is the only one extra Etna, because Lipari is also volcanic soil, and they were together with this, so they have the same bottle. I don't know if you ever drank this Pietra Pomice.
Yeah, I've tried them with the little grey and white labels. Like,
Or this Corinto wine that is amazing. And it's also interesting that they use...
The little owl.
Yeah, that... Ooh. What is that?
It's a little owl.
It's like the Athens symbol.
Oh, the symbol of Athens?
Yeah.
Yes, the symbol, I guess, from the
Athena.
Rome.
Athena.
Oh.
Yeah,
from
because,
the ancient Greeks.
Yeah, because at the time, Catania, that ancient Greek was called, ancient time was called Catana, was Athens allied. Syracuse was Spartans.
Okay.
And actually, you know, the Greek Athens Empire fell down in Syracuse. Mm-hmm. But this is because Catania, that was around the Etna, Terroir, this is the Athena connection.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So, Salvo Forte I visited in December when we did the trip to Sicily. and it was amazing. Like, I've never sat in a winery where I just wanted to keep asking questions and keep learning from him. He's a really fascinating, interesting man who grew up basically on the volcano.
Very cool.
He learned winemaking when there used to be an oenology school in Catania. It's now closed, and he learned from his grandfather in the vines. And I kept begging. I was like saying, "Can I come and do harvest with you next, like in 2019? Would that work?" And he's like, "No, I don't let anyone come in." And I kept asking questions, and at the end, he was like, "Maybe."
Right,
he's like, maybe I'll let you pick, but we'll see. We'll have to see how it goes. So I was like,
"Oh, that's cool."
I was like, "Just a day." I was like, "I'll just come for a day," and he was like,
"I'll just carry the buckets, like anything."
Yeah. Did we mention how old the vines are?
No, I don't know.
The vines are, I think, 40 to 80.
Yeah, about 8 years old. Yeah.
So Ecostodi's on the north side of the mountain, that sort of thing, whereas Evinieri, the main family estate, is on the east side, so you can see the sea.
But
the north side's probably the most famous sort of
terroir. That is like, it's like a nonsense, because people think that north side is where the sun is.
Okay.
But the most noble part of Etna is the north side.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah, because especially with this, and then it's also the temperature is, you have this crazy discussion when you are about like 800, 600, 1000 meters. In the night you have this like 5 degrees, 6 degrees, and during the day you have 30 degrees.
Very fresh and delicious.
Yeah. This is a kind of,
it's like ocean spray.
This is the wine that, because of that, you can wait like 20 years to drink this, and it's still like some Riesling here, actually, in the Rheingau.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of concept. So
it's
you can
somewhere drink between like Riesling and Burgundy.
Yeah, exactly. So this wine, actually, I know this 2014 like my child.
Okay.
Because I started to drink it from the very first day.
Okay.
I'm drinking now after 5 years. So it's totally another.
So we do this by the glass at Mickelberger. Yeah, we can do it for about 3 months. Yeah.
That's very nice.
It's amazing. What you drink now and what I remember from this wine 2 or 3 years ago, it's totally different. So
yeah, what I love about it is this.
Now it's starting to develop this kind of elegance, this minerality, fresh that before was just like acidity or. Like, nice to drink, but now it's becoming like a nice girl. Like,
well, because it's got this very high acidity and this like mineral core where it's like saline and smoky, but then you've got this like these honey
notes,
like
tropical kind of lychee
fruit.
It's really lovely.
I don't find it so. I know what you mean by that. I find
I'm
it
trying
more
to pinpoint what fruit it would.
Yeah, I get like peachy or white flowers.
Also, the jasmine is coming.
Yeah.
You know,
jasmine,
the white flowers.
It's really like jasmine, almond, honey.
This is Sicily.
Yeah,
almond, jasmine, honey. It's Sicily.
It's all the
it's very easy. And this is like the wine, when the wine is like expression of terroir
of a place.
What is
yeah?
Wow. And the nose also, it's amazing.
Yeah, that smells really good.
I mean, so to think this wine is almost 5 years of age, or at least from when it was picked, so four and a half, and it still feels like a baby. It'd be interesting to take it out again in a few years' time and see what it's like.
So now,
we had this
can make like a trick or take it or like hit Emily about wine, but if I could just smell this wine, I could say that is a French wine.
Yes. I agree.
Yeah, because
it's got a Chablis quality to it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, but this white flower is really
nice.
Ocean
breeze.
And I think ocean breeze, and I think of like the skin of citrus.
Yeah, it just has this like
wax lemon sort of.
There's just something of like a hot day and a cool breeze. So we picked a couple of whites that you've just heard us talk about because we think that sometimes there's not enough focus on some delicious Italian whites. The reds get all the glory.
Yes.
So we'd love to hear what your favorite Italian whites are. What do you eat them with? What are you drinking right now? What do you
have
in your
fridge? Any questions you have?
We'd love to hear it all. You can find us on Instagram at juice.podcast.
On Twitter at juice_podcast.
You can pick up a snazzy tote bag at juice.show. So we'd love to thank Nicola for joining us.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And
that's a boy.
Until next week.
Until next week.